Welcome to the program today. My name is Keith Smith. I'm an instructor at Calvary Chapel Bible Ministry School in La Mirada. And we're glad you've joined us here at Solid Ground. And all this week, Pastor Brian Parrish is going verse by verse through Joshua chapter 3, beginning at verse 5, with a message entitled, Being Prepared for God's Work. So let's go to Pastor Brian Parrish from the pulpit of Calvary Chapel, La Mirada.
Now, how do we set our lives apart? Let's go over to the New Testament, and I have three areas that I want to focus on. The first one is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 20. Paul's going to use the metaphor of a house, and he's applying it to the church. Says, but in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay. Think of a house. If you know, you have these different vessels or things that you have in your house. Some are just set up on a mantle or a light on it, and it's just for looks. Or you have silverware that you only bring out once, two, three times a year when someone special comes over, or china, or whatever the case may be. Those are vessels for honor that aren't used just for the ordinary purposes, but are used for special purposes. Now, for the family, they get the cheap stuff every day. Sometimes paper plates, sometimes just the old silverware, a little bent for, you know, hey, they could use it. It's just for the common, ordinary stuff. Now, what do you want to be? Do you want to be one that God could use where he wants to work his special purposes through? Or are you satisfied with, there's a degree of work that God's doing through my life? Well, in the body of Christ, there's vessels that God would set apart. And I believe, of course, it relates to God's calling upon your life and his will. But you have to make yourself available to that. I don't know about you, I want to be a vessel that's set apart for honorable purpose. Not just the common, ordinary things, but the miraculous power of God working among us. And that's why I said our job is to set ourselves apart for that, to be ready. And the Lord will look, and he'll look at the heart. It says he's searching all over the earth to find someone whose heart is completely loyal to him. And he's going to come along and strengthen that person. So the Lord's searching out these types of vessels as well. And again, I just want to be found as one of those. He goes on to say, some for honor and some for dishonor. Trash can would be for a dishonorable purpose, right? Or a dustpan. The best china is for the honorable purposes. If you wanted to impress someone, let's say you're newly married and your in-laws are coming over, you wouldn't get a trash can and say, well, here's what you're going to eat out of. Right? Doesn't make any sense. Well, the Lord's the same thing. If he wants to do something special, he's not going to get a dirty vessel that he's going to use and work his Holy Spirit through. So we need to be those like that vessel. It's all cleaned up and it's set aside just for those special purposes and it's ready to be used by the Lord. That's what Paul's going to get at in verse 21. So he says, therefore, now look at this next word, very important word, F. Just two letters, but very significant. If anyone cleanses himself from the latter, notice a condition. If you do this, then this will happen. If you cleanse yourself from the latter, you're going to be a vessel for honor, useful, prepared for every good work. So it starts with us cleansing ourselves. That's what Joshua is saying, sanctify yourself. Now he doesn't mean forgive yourself of your sin or work something that, you know, makes you worthy, but make sure whatever those areas of compromise and those fleshly desires that are there that are beginning to crowd in and dominate your life, get rid of those things out of your life. Whatever sin it would be, whatever compromise it would be, or whatever thing God would ask you to give up, even though it may not be sin, we need to purge ourselves. And this word cleanse means to thoroughly purge. So think of anything that's there that would restrict the flow of God's Spirit. Those need to be cleaned out. When that happens, now we're ready to be a vessel for honor. Not until then. So it's conditional on our part as a congregation as well as individuals. So if we would cleanse ourselves from the latter. Now the latter in the context probably means sin in general. But more specifically, he's dealing with false teaching and false teachers and false believers or vessels for dishonor or compromising individuals there in the body. And he says you need to cut yourself off from such people. If you believe in false doctrine, you're going to get a false power, a false work that's not really going to be the work of God. And if you're hanging around those that are compromisers, they are going to impact and affect your life and disqualify you from the fullness of what God's wanting to do. So you need to take a hard look at your life and say, who is it that you spend a lot of time with? Do they promote your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, or do they hinder that walk? If you want to be a vessel for honor, sometimes you make some hard choices and say, I can't spend time with this person anymore. All they do is drag me down, or my mind is in the wrong place because of the jokes that they have, and I find myself laughing at things that I shouldn't, or saying jokes that I shouldn't, or saying things to kind of fit into this group. You have to cleanse yourself of that. There's no human relationship that's worth hanging on to if God is saying, I have you for this purpose over here. The Bible says, as Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good habits. If you hang around people that don't have a heart and mind for God, it's going to rub off on you. It's going to affect you. You may not go out and rebel against the Lord, but you're not going to be as zealous and fired up, and their life is going to have an impact upon your life. We are weak. We need people to encourage us in the things of God, not drag us back to the things of the world. And that's why Paul says, don't be deceived, because we think, no, it won't happen to me. See, I'm going to impact them. And you know what begins to happen? You spend a lot of time around unbelievers. They talk like unbelievers. You know why? Because they're unbelievers, and that's what's in their heart and mind. It doesn't take a genius to figure this out, and you being in that environment, you don't need that. It's different if you're evangelizing them. And for some relationships, you need to say, I need to cut this relationship off. If you really value holiness, you'll do that for the sake of God's kingdom. Now, I'm not saying you should go into work tomorrow and say, my pastor said I only need to hang out with godly people. You're an ungodly individual. I need to cleanse myself of you, and I'm moving on. All you have to do is this. Next time they say something kind of rude and crude, just say, you know what? I really don't want to hear those things anymore. I really want to walk with the Lord. I really want to walk with Jesus Christ. And these things just don't match. You don't have to cleanse them. They'll start cleansing you. Let's get rid of this guy. Amen? Won't that happen? So you don't have to be harsh and abrasive, but you do need to start distancing yourself. I heard a simple illustration. If you're standing up on a stool and someone's laying down, what's easier to do? For you to pick them up or for them to pull you down off that stool? It's easier for them to pull you down, isn't it? Same thing spiritually. It's hard. It's hard to get to the place spiritually where you're at. Right? You've had to claw and pray and scrap and fight. It's just so easy just to slide right back. Doesn't take much, does it? So you don't need someone filling your head with stuff that makes you kind of questionable and weakens you in your walk with the Lord. You need to hang out with those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart is what the Scripture says. So there's some choices that you need to make. Who are you spending time with? You need to cleanse yourself. Be with people that are godly, that love the Lord. So he says, if you cleanse yourself of the latter, you would be a vessel for honor, for God's honorable purposes. Sanctified. There's our word again. Set apart. See, here's what happens automatically in sanctification. Sanctification involves repenting. It involves turning from ungodly things. Now, if you turn from ungodly things, what are you going to turn towards? There's only one thing left. That's the Lord. Holy things. Things of God's purposes. So sanctification involves turning from things that are worthless and fleshly and turning to the Lord. That's how he'd want you to walk. That's how you keep yourself in the love of God. That's how you keep your life in a place that the fullness of the work of God's Spirit can work through us. And then if that happens, if you do that, this is what will automatically follow. Read on. You'll be useful for the Master. Now, instead of a dirty vessel, God looks through the church and here's a clean one that I could use. And he reaches his hand into you and pours his Spirit into, and he brings his work. And the kingdom of God is furthered. Look, when God looks for someone to do something, God wants to do something through our church here, whatever this is. He doesn't look through the church and said, hey, you've been here long enough, I think I'll use you. God doesn't work by seniority, does he? He doesn't say, just get me anybody. He looks for someone's heart. He says, hey, here's a person that wants to be used by, here's someone that's eager, here's someone that's setting their life apart. That's a person that I could work through. And as soon as you start sanctifying yourself, God will make use of your life in a greater way. There's no doubt about it. Then what naturally follows, it says you'll be prepared for every good work. That word prepared also speaks of an eagerness, a willingness, a desire. See, when you start saying no to the flesh, these other desires, these spiritual desires, start getting cultivated. And you start finding yourself praying, Lord, here I am, use me. If you haven't prayed that in a while, that's a dangerous, something's happened in your hearts. There's compromise that's coming in, because at one point you did. Maybe you left your first love, but our hearts should be crying out, God, use me for your kingdom. The only people that pray that way are those that are saying no to the flesh, no to sin, because they're saying it for a reason, because they want to be used by the Lord. They want their life to honor the Lord. And if you start doing that, you'll find a hunger in your heart. You'll find a prayer life of saying, God, use my life. And you know what's going to happen? God's going to bring people in need across your path. And you're going to be prepared, ready to minister to them. Because the things that God has worked in you, He's going to bring those same type of people.